So the title of my sermon is two titles. Number one, where does your manna come from? Does it come from God? And also, Jesus declared that I am the bread of life. I'd like to start off from a prayer that was offered in Jewish homes at the start of Sabbath. I'm going to excerpt it. Days pass, and years vanish, and we walk sightless among miracles. So Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, do you walk sightless among miracles? Do you see your daily miracle that God is offering you? Do you see your manna every morning? So, dear God, please come into my mind and heart this morning so that this, your beloved worshiping community here at Royal Oak, will not walk sightless among your miracles, nor will they be deaf to your presence. But let them see your wonders. Let them hear your voice. Let your spirit guide them in everything they do. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart bring them closer to you, closer to each other. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Exodus saga reads like an adventure novel. It's got everything. It's got plagues. It's got locusts. It's got rivers of blood. It has the Jews leaving Egypt. It has the Egyptian army chasing them. It has the Red Sea parting, the Jews walking through it, the Egyptian army drowning, and then they are in the desert. At which point, several hundred thousand, maybe as many as a million Jewish people started grumbling. Can you imagine? God takes them out of slavery in Egypt where they were working 7 days a week, and they were grumbling to God that why did he do that? They were better off in slavery. And that just wasn't one or two, that was hundreds of thousands or maybe even a million grumbling people in the desert. But you know, this story of Exodus is not about the grumbling. It's not about the adventure. What it's really about is that God is seeing the Jews. And God is hearing the Jews. And God is sustaining the Jews. You see, God sees and hears and sustains the Jewish people as he hears and sustains and responds to us today. The miracle of the manna was not just that bread appeared every morning, it's that God gave himself to his people. And God continues to give himself to his people, to us, this day, this time. In Exodus 16, verse 10, it says, while Aaron was speaking to the whole of the Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of God appearing in the cloud. That is an astonishing thing. God gave himself to the Jewish people, cloud by day, fire by night. The Jews could not, if they wanted to, walk sightless among miracles because God was always there. And God also gave the Jews the gift of food, quails in the evening, manna in the morning. It says in Exodus 16:4, I will rain bread from heaven down on you. So Creator God's manna was not only feeding the Jewish bodies, but he was confirming on a theological basis that he was giving himself to them. And so the Jews had manna. And when Jesus came and preached, they got a little confused because Jesus said, I am the bread of life. But they said, well, we want that old stuff, that manna stuff. You see, they didn't know what we know, is that the bread of heaven truly is the body and blood of Christ that he gives us in communion. Because in Holy Communion, Jesus is giving us himself, his love, and his grace. But whether we look in the Old Testament or the New Testament, God is present and God is feeding his children. And so in those most trying times when the Jews were wondering, is God with us? Maybe we should have stayed in Egypt. We have found ourselves this week wondering some of those same questions. Is God with us? This week we had many, many text messages back and forth about Robin's health and about Ben's health. And many people stepped up to give of themselves to that situation, to help that family. This week we also had the discouraging news that some places are reinstituting masking indoors. Because surprisingly or not, the COVID variant Delta is more infectious than chickenpox and is exploding in some parts of this country. We also have the start of a new year in school, which for many parents is exciting, but it's also anxiety producing. Are the kids going to be going to school? Will they have to wear masks? And if you listen to our blessings and concerns this morning, there are 3 pages of blessings and concerns, many more concerns than blessings. So we are in something of a desert here at Royal Oak. But we know from this scripture, and it was so inspiring that the Holy Spirit put this in our lectionary this week, that as God fed the people of the Old Testament, God is feeding us. And if you look at that scripture, you find out that the young people would walk further to get the manna, and the older, infirm people would not have to walk as far. And you also discovered that those who gathered a lot, in the end, had what they needed. And those who could not gather very much, in the end, had what they needed. You see, the healthy were helping feed the sick. The young were helping the old. This is a model in the Old Testament, but it's also here in our actions here at Royal Oak. It's a cliche to say we put faith in action. At Royal Oak, we are putting our faith in action. And this work that we do is both work, and it is a joy and a blessing that we are able to do it. Reverend Scott Hosey reminds us, I mean, he gets real. Being a Christian is not like going to Disney World, in case you thought it was. We all have issues in our lives that need God's presence to help us get through. We all have some kind of desert that we are in, whether illness, financial insecurity, loneliness, bad job, family dysfunction. But we know from Scripture that God gave his manna to the Jews and is giving his manna to us. So Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, do you see God's manna in your lives? Are you feeling God's presence sustaining you each day? Or do you sometimes find yourselves falling into that trap of walking sightless among miracles? So I'd like you to think about this. Maybe the way to see God's manna in our lives is to develop a manna mind. A mind that looks for God's blessings in our lives. Because if you look at this church, and this church has been through opening, closing, all kinds of things in the last year and a half, as all churches have. But we have reopened our Sunday school. Can you hear? We have started special family-oriented Sundays that have been awesome and wonderful. and are continuing into the future, apparently.
Yes.
Our food pantry is newly blessed with fresh produce. And if you want to see God feeding his people, you know, we think, oh, the food pantry, yeah, that feeds the community. The food pantry feeds us because it reminds us of God's blessings, that we have an abundance that we can give to people in need. We are being fed God's manna every day by having members do opening prayers and scripture readings. And we have new families and old families and singles and couples and people visiting and coming back to church. We have restarted fellowship after church. We have a coffee bar and a welcome center. And we are engaged and supporting and praying. Our DS called me up yesterday morning and said, Pastor Tim, I'd like to suggest the following happen about, you know, that family, the Allens. And I said, Reverend Davis, we got that covered. We're already doing this and this and this and this. He said, well, I talked to the bishop. I wanted to get things started. I said, Reverend Davis, we got this. We got this. So I'd like to think about this. I'd like to give you an idea. I found this beautiful quote by an author, Andre Dubois, and he's talking about the Eucharist. Now, we have God's manna in our life each morning, each morning, each morning, as that poem that I read in the beginning said. But really, as New Testament people, we have the Eucharist, where Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood, do this in remembrance of me. But consider this. Andre Dubois said, my belief in the Eucharist is simple. Without touch, God is just an idea. Without touch, God is just an idea. I love the fact that we are meeting in person. I love the fact that we have fellowship. I love the fact that we are gathering for meetings. Because without touch, the touch of fellowship, the touch of connections, the touch of phone calls, that this community is simply an idea. He goes on to say that Jesus is the bread of life because in it, when he receives the Eucharist, he is receiving God's presence. And touching the Eucharist makes Andre mindful of that. Now, I know these packets that we have, it's hard to think of anything other than how irritating the packet is. I understand that. But maybe that's our challenge. Small challenge. As you're looking at that, you are receiving in the line of the manna that God gave the Jews. You are there at the Last Supper with Jesus giving the body and blood of himself to his disciples. So what if we could take this idea about without touch, God is just an idea, and transfer it to the manna mind that I asked you to have about looking at your daily blessings each day. Each day getting up and looking around your house, not for dew on the carpet, that would be a problem, but, you know, the blessings that you have in your life. And seeing how you can receive those and share those and receive those and share those. If we could do this, then we would no longer walk sightless among miracles. Because we would wake up each morning seeing God's bread raining down from heaven in our lives today. That is an astonishing image. There was so much bad news on the news. There were so many people in need. And yet we, if we can just turn our minds, can see God's bread raining down from heaven on us each day. So, Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, I'm done. But I'm going to ask you a question. What is your manna? What is your manna? How does God feed you each day? And how do you, as the Jewish people did, in the time of Moses. Take your overflow of God's blessings and give them to the people around you. We're not in Disney World anymore, so we need to work on this. But we joyfully work on this because we are part of a beloved worshiping and praying community. And so we give thanks for God's presence in our lives. We give thanks for the love of God that transfers from all of us to each other. And we give thanks that we are able to receive this morning the great gift of Jesus' Last Supper, the body and blood. And we do this in remembrance of him.